just be one placeholder slide there, Wendy. No major presentation this morning. Good morning, again. Atamariye. Before I start, I just want to give a heads up for people. For those of you who are aware of our tradition to get a star word, a word for the year that we just collect and we dwell on for the year, we started the process last week, our new star words for the year, and I'll talk about that a bit at the end. But for those that received a star word last year and for whom this became a meaningful engagement with the Lord in terms of coming closer to him and exploring perhaps something for your life for the year, would love to have the opportunity for one, two or three people to give a testimony after I finish my short message this morning. So if you have a story or a testimony that you could share that was appropriate to share about your star word specifically, please start thinking about that whilst also listening to what I have to say over the next few minutes. And if you can get through the courage, our theme is, what do you fear? So if you're feeling fearful about perhaps getting up, this is a great opportunity to practice what we've been through the last Advent series as well. But yeah, I'll leave that to you to think about if you'd like to have an opportunity to share a testimony about how God has been at work in you through the year, through your star word. So last week was Epiphany Sunday, and it's a wonderful sounding word. Who knows what epiphany means? Can anyone give me a definition of epiphany?
Surprise realization.
Great and sudden realization. Any other words? Yeah, it's a sudden realization, a revelation, a recognition that something has happened. You're like, I've had an epiphany. It's the idea that I've had this great idea. But in scriptural tradition, in biblical tradition, epiphany is really around that moment where the Magi from the East have come in and they have recognized. They've had this moment of realization of the Christ child as the King of the Jews, and they've gone seeking for that. So Epiphany was celebrated last week. Colleen brought a slightly different wrap-up message last week, so I'm going to bring the last of our Advent series. So Advent continues right through into January as well. Now, we have each had our own moment of Epiphany when it comes to recognizing Jesus. So for those of us here who do know the Lord and have accepted him and have invited him into our lives and taken up his invitation to join in his journey, we've each had our moment of realization, that moment where we've seen that he is true, he is Savior, he is King, he is Lord. But epiphanies never come with just that moment. They always come with something afterwards. Where does that realization take us? A recognition. For the Magi, it changed them. They did something with that. For each of us, what have we done with our encounter with Jesus, that realization? Or do we need to revisit that realization? Now I'm going to read from scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 12, 16 to 18. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12 and 16 to 18. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, at the time when Herod was king, some wise and learned men came to Jerusalem from the east. "Where is the one," they asked, "who has been born to be the King of the Jews? We have seen his star rising in the east, and we have come to worship him." But when King Herod heard this, he was very disturbed, and the whole of Jerusalem was as well. He called together all the chief priests and scribes of the people and inquired from them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they replied. "That is what it says in the prophet. You, Bethlehem in Judah's land, you are not the least of Judah's princes. From out of you will come the ruler who will shepherd Israel, my people." Then Herod called the wise men to him in secret. He found out from them precisely when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem. "Off you go," he said, "and make a thorough search for the child. When you find him, report back to me so I can come and worship him too." When they heard what the king said, they set off. There was the star, the one they had seen rising in the east, going ahead of them. It went and stood still over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were beside themselves with joy and excitement. They went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him presents, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, so they returned to their country by a different route. Then 16 to 17 says, "When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he flew into a towering rage. He dispatched people to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in all its surrounding districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time the Magi had told him. That was when the word of the Lord came through Jeremiah, the prophet, was fulfilled. There was heard a voice in Ramah, crying and loud lamentation. Rachel is weeping for her children and will not let anyone comfort her because they are no more." So as we end this series, Herod is still in power. Christ is born, yet it feels as if the world has not changed. The temptation to give up is strong, especially in the face of violence. But the Magi don't let Herod's fear-driven demands stop them from honoring the newborn Christ or returning home via a different way, at risk to themselves. They model for us what it looks like to be led by hope, moving through fear without letting it paralyze us. And as this series ends and a new year begins, this is what we proclaim. Our journey continues, and fear will not have the last word. Our journey continues, and fear will not have the last word. Most Epiphany Sunday worship services are centered around the mysterious and joyful arrival of the Magi, like the Nativity story. The mythology of the narrative of this in the Western imagination has evolved into a jovial tale about three royal kings bringing the baby Jesus, finely wrapped birthday gifts. But the reality is that in this story, Herod looms large. His actions twist this tale into a tragedy. His presence cannot be ignored. And that's why we've included verses 16 to 18 in this particular day. We want to acknowledge that Herod is still there. In Herod, we see the most destructive mutations of fear. In response to fear, he chooses coercion and control. However, the Magi provide a counterpoint. They don't let fear or Herod stop them. They persist and they persevere. They give honor to Jesus, giving honor to Jesus as a Judean king, with insistent hope that perhaps his anointing could lead to the restoration of their own Persian customs and culture, being dominated by the Roman Empire. So as we close this series, we can't ignore that the Herods of this world still loom large. The slaughter of the holy innocents in this story is a painful story that mirrors devastating modern-day events and realities. And yet this is the work of insisting on hope. We can't let fear have the final word. And as Reverend Dr. Boyoung Lee says, he says, "Love leads us forward." I'm going to read a little bit out of Dr. Lee's commentary, because he says this really, really beautifully. We arrive at the end of Advent and Christmas journey, and yet the world still brims with violence, uncertainty, and fear. The birth of Christ has not silenced the Herods of the world. Empire continues to rage, The innocent still suffer. The question then is not whether fear exists. The question is, what do we do with it? Do we freeze? Bunker down? Do we run? Or do we move forward as the Magi did, refusing to let fear be the end of the story? Now, Matthew's account of the Magi is often domesticated in popular retellings. Exotic kings bearing gifts, bowing before a glowing infant. But Matthew chapter 2 is no fairy tale. It is a political and a theological narrative. From the first verse, we are reminded that the story takes place in the time of King Herod, a puppet ruler of the Roman Empire known for his violent paranoia. The story we have read is not the first time he's done something like that, and it won't be the last that he tries, which is why Jerusalem is in fear. If Herod's in fear, everyone's in fear. Herod represents the worst of power, one who responds to threat not with humility, but with tyranny. The massacre of the innocents in verses 16 to 18 echoes Pharaoh's infanticide in Exodus 1, which shows how fear, untransformed, can mutate into mass violence and brokenness. And it's into this volatile landscape that the Magi enter. Now, they are foreign. They are Gentile. They are astrologers. They are marginal figures in the Jewish imagination. They're almost not worth considering. Yet they are the first to recognize Christ's birth. And Matthew calls them Magoi Apo Anatolon, Magi from the East, without specifying number, gender, or religion. Christian tradition has masculinized them and royalized them into three kings, but the term Magoi comes from the old Persian language, and in the Zoroastrian tradition, both men and women could hold this title. Their journey disrupts not only imperial geography, but also gender, racial, and theological boundaries. Their epiphany, their revelation, is one of radical inclusion in this emerging kingdom. In seeking and honoring the Christ child, they embody the very logic of Matthew's gospel, that it is a divine movement outside of the expected places and people, away from the centers of power. Matthew's gospel consistently places God's activity on the margins, with the people least likely to be included. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, not Jerusalem. He's hailed by gentle astrologers, not the religious elite. He is protected not by armies, but by the dreams and a refugee father who listens to angels. This is a different kind of kingdom, a subversion of the normal empirical empire logic that might is right. Maybe some parallel things happening today you might think of. The Magi recognize the infant Jesus as King of the Jews, a title that terrifies Herod. Their homage is not merely devotional, it's political. By kneeling before Jesus, they make a bold and embodied declaration that their loyalty lies not with empire, but with a vulnerable child who reveals another way of power. Fear permeates the story. Herod is afraid, and Jerusalem trembles. Yet the Magi do not turn back. They travel through the uncertainty, seeking the truth. And after encountering Christ, they take the risk to return home by another way. A phrase that signifies not just a new route that they're taking, but also a new life that they're embarking on. This is the power of Epiphany. It's not merely just a moment of recognition, but it's the beginning of a new path. The Magi then become witnesses to God's new order, not by heritage or status, but through their bold seeking. While the religious elites remain static, doing what they've always done, the Magi cross boundaries. They bow in humility and they respond to revelation. They do what Herod and his allies refuse to do. They seek, they kneel, they listen. Epiphanies are not always warm or personal. Sometimes they are disruptive, even dangerous, and they often don't come at the right time. Sometimes they lead to confrontation with empire. Sometimes they ask us to cross borders, go to the fringes. Sometimes they send us home by another way. But always they ask something of us. Will we move the way that fear makes us move or wants us to move? Or will we move the way love calls us to, through the uncertainty, through the fear? Their journey becomes an invitation to us as well. I wonder, who are the Magi among us today? The people that are willing to cross borders and to go to strange places and talk to people who are different or do things in a different way for truth and love. And who are the Marys? Perhaps holding the Christ child in fragile arms, having been obedient, but now waiting for that knock at the door that might seal their fate. And who are the Herods in our lives, either on a global scale, there's plenty of them around at the moment, or even maybe on a relational scale or a community scale or in our families, people who are terrified that their illegitimate power might be exposed by the light. In the face of fear, let us travel together. Let us defy empire and the might is right approach. Let's defy it not with swords and with equal power, but with solidarity and with humility. Let us first kneel in awe, not before the powerful, but before the powerless Christ child, whose birth marked the beginning of God's peace campaign that we are a part of today. Let us believe with trembling hope that fear does not have the last word, because fear does not stop us. Love leads us forward. It's just a word of encouragement today as we enter into this week. My observation is that it's easy for us to be sucked up into the news cycle. We saw that last year. We saw it the year before and the year before that and the year before that. Lots has been happening. But what breaks my heart is when I see people wrapped up by fear and this anxiety and this anxiousness and this, I'm not going to bring children into the world, or where are we heading, or what's going on? We're bound up by the fear that the news cycle brings us and draws us into. There are bad things happening, yes. And the world is changing. Who knows where it's heading in 2026? We will face uncertainty. We will face difficulty. Things will happen this year that will make us wonder what the heck is going on and what does that mean. But our response should always be to come back to the Christ child. God has got this. The church is thriving. The church is growing. God's kingdom is not going to be overcome. And we're a part of that. Our role is to then just come back and say, Lord, let me anchor myself to you, not to what's going on around there. Yes, we can enter in, we can lament, we can pray, but let's not allow the fear to grow up in us that prevents us from living out the way that Jesus wants us to live. Always come back to, where is fear trying to take me? But where should love be taking me instead as well? So, just as the Magi saw a star, we do have our own star words. They're kind of little guides. There's nothing magical about these words that we collect. And there are words out on the table over there that people can go and get today as well. I got mine last week, and my word is seek. Now, these are quite powerful. We've done this 3 years, 4 years now. Yeah, 3 years in a row. And each year for me, it's been, I've got a very strange word that I didn't appreciate usually at the beginning. And the one I got last year, it probably took me to the end of the year to figure out what it was all about. Mine was jubilant, and I'm not a naturally jubilant kind of guy. I don't go, yeah, I'm not, you know, a bit of a flatliner. Or, you know, I get excited when something is succeeded or something happens. I'll be excited for a fleeting moment, and then I'm going, okay, what's next? I don't stop to celebrate. But the Lord taught me that jubilance comes from that the biblical concept of jubilee, which was the year of jubilee where slaves were set free, debts were paid off, land was restored, and it was announced with a trumpet blast. And it was really all about living in the joy of proclaimed freedom. And as I came to the end of the year, and I said, Lord, I didn't really understand this. I never felt really that jubilant throughout the whole year. And he says, yes, but where have I transformed your life in the last few years? Where have you been living in the freedom? And I looked back and I had to realize that there's a bunch of things that over the years, as we all do, we have to work on different aspects of our life. And I realized that 2025 for me was a year where suddenly the things that I'd been kind of wrestling with or trying to have to work through, they just weren't bothering me anymore. And I was going, oh, wow, I was able to actually focus my whole attention on the Lord, not on those things that I was trying not to do or not to have part of my life. And so I celebrated at the end of the year with joy of living in the proclaimed freedom, and I'm determined to move forward into that year as well. Is there anyone here who has a story or a testimony they would like to share about their star word from last year? You can either stand where you are and I'll bring you a microphone, or you can come up. Mm-hmm. Oh, Wendy at the back. You might have to come up so people don't break their necks.
My word.
Orange.
My word was community. And I sort of thought, well, yeah, it's great. So during the year, I had a major issue in my workplace, and I felt very unsafe, and things escalated. And God said, hang on to that, hang on to that. I don't want you to lose your job. But I didn't want to lose my job either. And just God said, there are people there to support you, you know, everywhere you go. And I came across work colleagues supported me. I came to church on Sunday and felt God was presenting me with people that were supporting me in that and just saying, how are you going? And actually listening to you. And then I just said, God gave me the value of community and, you know, don't need to rely on yourself on your own. We're not alone. You know, use the community, and community will come back and bless you, and you in turn will bless them. And it's also evident in my work. I'm on a committee that manages a camp out at North Loburn, and just being out in that community, in the environment of a free space, no cell phone coverage, and it's just shared last week about the last few days I've been out there and just communing with friends and communing with God, and it's just a blessing. And this year I'm excited because I've got Imagine as my word, so I'm getting a new phase of life.
You're wonderful. Thank you. That's awesome. Thanks. Is there anyone else who would like to share? Oh, we've got two all at once. We'll go Pamela. Is there someone over here as well? No? Thank you, Pamela.
My word last year was conviction. And my first thought was, oh, what am I guilty of? What am I going to be convicted of? What am I going, have I done something wrong, or am I going to do something wrong? You know, what's this all about? But we can also be convicted about the truth of what we believe. And that was what it was, just a continuing, quiet work of God through my life. Because I know what I know. But what happens when I give a sermon or speak to others. Am I telling the right thing? And I thought, just a minute, I'm convicted it's right. Where is my, you know, confidence? Why am I living in this fear? So yes, it was just a constant thing, conviction. Be strong in your faith and be confident to share it, to say it, to speak out when the situation arises.
Thank you. And I can attest to the fact that we get the blessing of Pamela's conviction on the elders. Yeah, you're just a great... When you put the brakes on, we know to stop and wait and listen for what the Lord has to say. It's a great gift. Anyone else? Oh, Neil. I have a memory of a goldfish, by the way.
My word was risk, and I wondered about this, and I thought, oh, I'm old enough and grumpy enough to not worry too much what other people think. I'm probably prepared to take a risk. I care what God thinks, not so much others. Maybe my wife, but I don't know. Anyway, so during the year I took a whole lot of risks. Most of them were decisions about things to do or not to do. And most of the time it paid off wonderfully. I was pleased I took a risk. I taught somebody in the church how to drive. It might have been a physical risk, but that worked out as well. So just being prepared to, if God sort of pokes and says, take a risk, then I did it.
Wonderful. Is there anyone else? Yeah. Nathan.
Okay, I got the word restore last year, and to be honest, okay, yeah, that's better. I got the word restore last year, and to be honest, when I first got the word, I was like, I was pretty sure because of what had been happening for me that God was going to restore things that I have had struggles with in the last few years, and that's exactly what happened. So I have found that the word now speaks to me about how committed God is for our good, that he wants the best possible life for us. So needless to say, I've been aware that there is a real strength in me having Asperger's, which up till this year, I would have told you, yeah, I mean, I have Asperger's and I'm aware about it, but this year I've really seen it as a real strength. One of the things that it gives me is a very good focus, and things that I generally gravitate to, interests that I have. So, and you're aware of this, like me standing up here is kind of me being, me demonstrating how much of an Asperger's person I am. I have a lot of information that goes through my mind all the time. So that's one thing that up till this year I haven't really been conscious of, but it's happened this year.
Wonderful. Thanks, Nathan. I didn't know that was your word, but I have seen that and been witness to that in your life. Just on a side note, Nathan has a prodigious memory. He has an amazingly theological mind. And I love taking him out for walks and just basically throwing ideas at him, and he's amazing. So if you want to have a really great session, understanding the word and hearing some ideas, I make the most of Nathan's Asperger's on a number of different ways. He's a wonderful friend and a great part of this community as well. Well, wonderful. I'm going to read a prayer to finish us off, but I wonder if Greg and the team could come up, if his team left, And as I'm reading the prayer for us, and then kind of lead us out in a song and a final call for help, as if there's another one or two as well out the back. It's all set up, ready to go. So could you stand, if you're able, stand with me as we read this, as I read this prayer. Listen to the words so that you know what you're agreeing to if you say amen at the end. Lord, God, today we pray for courage. In a world that is rattled with fear, fill our hearts with courage. Show us the places where we can make a difference. Quiet the voices inside us of comparison and doubt. Silence our imposter syndrome. Fill the sky with stars and guide our steps, so that like the Magi, we might walk with you in courage. For if we're honest, the world is a scary place. You know that. We know that. We sometimes fear change. We may fear death. We may fear being alone or not being enough. We fear the Herods of the world, just like we fear losing our way. There are a million reasons we have to be afraid, God, but we do not want fear to stop us. So today we pray, make us like the Magi. Grant us the courage to keep walking. Grant us the conviction to keep hoping. Grant us the imagination to keep dreaming, Wendy. Grant us the faith to keep seeking. Grant us the wisdom to keep reaching. Grant us the will to keep walking. Make us like the Magi, and we will walk toward you. With hope, we will place one foot in front of the other. With hope, we will look to the stars. With hope, we will gather every ounce of courage we have. With hope, we will reach for each other. With hope, we choose to keep walking. And with that confidence propelling us forward today, Lord, we commit ourselves to you and our family. And we just pray that this year will be one that is marked by love, not by fear. In the name of Jesus, amen.